The children are already practicing for their Christmas musical, which is going to be December 18th. So they're already getting ready during the services now under the direction of Nicole Walker. So we're really grateful for that. That's going to be a fun time, December 18th. So you'll see that coming up on our announcements as we get closer. Well, we're talking today about the Holy Spirit and being taught by the Holy Spirit. And we're about halfway through this series on experiencing the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about being baptized and filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And today we're going to talk about being taught by the Spirit. Last week we took a look at things like prophecy and dreams and visions and all the supernatural ways that God can speak to us. But most of the time, God speaks to us through the Word, through the Scripture. And what a blessing that is, that we have the Word of God. And so turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. And we're going to go through a lot of scriptures today as appropriate on a message that deals with the Bible. You will need your Bible or your Bible app open. And so John chapter 6. So as you're turning there, you know what it's like to have a good teacher, don't you? A favorite teacher. And all of you students, you have favorite teachers, don't you? Can you think of like one class or one particular teacher that you just really, the class comes alive? And you know that this teacher is passionate for what they do. And maybe it was even a subject that you didn't think you'd like. But because that teacher is so passionate about it and so good at it, you end up loving the class. Can you guys think of any examples of classes that you really like? Just shout it out. What's a class?
English.
English. And what?
Math.
English. Marketing. Anybody there in the second row, a class you really love that you didn't think you'd love or a great teacher? Band. There you go. Communications. Anybody else in the second row there? Well, every now and then you run into a teacher that is so passionate about what they do, and they love it so much that you go into that class and you think, I don't really like English, or I don't like math. This is not going to be any fun. But this teacher is just so into what they're doing and so well prepared that you end up loving the class. We have a lot of really good teachers in our worship services, but how many of you have been professional teachers at one point in your life, or you are now, where you make a living teaching? Raise your hand. Look at all these wonderful teachers. Give them a big hand, all these teachers. Fantastic. Teachers have a hard job. They have to be prepared. They have to know their subject, and yet they have to entertain, too, to a certain extent, and especially in the classroom. And I remember taking high school English classes, and I couldn't stand it. I really couldn't. And then again, I couldn't stand high school math either. Were there any classes in high school I did like? I don't know, but I did get to college, and I had an English professor that made it come alive. I just couldn't believe how exciting English could be. It's all about having the right teacher. Well, Jesus is the right teacher, isn't he? He is the right teacher. And you get that sense as you read through the Gospels that people were literally hanging on every word from the Lord. They couldn't get enough. They were surrounding him in small groups and large groups and the multitudes because they couldn't believe that here's this man speaking with such authority as if he really knew God himself personally, and he did, and speaking with such passion and yet speaking truth. And you can tell when someone's speaking truth, and they knew he was speaking truth. So our first scripture is John chapter 6, verse 63. And the first point for your insert is, Jesus was a great teacher, and the Holy Spirit is a great teacher. Jesus was a great teacher. The Holy Spirit has continued Jesus' teaching ministry to our hearts through the scripture, and he is a great teacher. And so John 6:33. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Isn't that so true? And that, notice that right from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he's talking about the combination here of the Word and the Spirit. The words that he was speaking to them were full of life, full of life. Full of spirit and full of life. And I contend here this morning, this is my main idea, that we can't even understand the Bible, the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit living within us, interpreting it for us. Because you can pick up the Bible and you can be bored out of your minds, or you cannot understand it at all. It's not clear. And yet, when it's the Holy Spirit at work in us, as we're reading the Scriptures, it comes alive. It's full of life. It is so true when the Spirit leads us. Look at John chapter 8 now, verses 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Here's Jesus and his teaching ministry, and he's teaching the truth, and the truth was literally going to set them free, free from their sin, free to know God, free to pursue God, free to know the truth. That's what Jesus is saying here. And we can have that same powerful experience with God, and we can know the truth, and it can set us free as we read the Scriptures. Now turn to John chapter 14, verse 26. Here's our key passage. One of the key passages in our whole series on experiencing the Holy Spirit. But the Counselor, or that could be Comforter, Advocate, the one who comes alongside of us, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So here's Jesus reassuring his disciples that even preparing them for the time that he was going to be leaving them. And he said, even when I'm gone, the Holy Spirit who I'm sending, this Comforter, this Advocate, he's going to teach you, he's going to lead you in all truth. He's going to teach you what I've been teaching you. He's going to continue on the ministry that I started with you, and it's going to be good stuff, and it's going to be the truth, and it's going to set you free. So John 14, 26. So the Holy Spirit is going to reinforce the message of Jesus. In fact, your next fill-in, the Holy Spirit teaches us truth and holiness. The Holy Spirit teaches us truth and holiness. He perfects us. He transforms us. He makes us, he sets us apart. He makes us holy. Mark preached about that a few weeks ago. Now take a look at John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Jesus, again, speaking to his disciples, preparing them for the time he was going to leave them. And he said this, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He won't speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So he's even going to tell them what was yet to come. John 16, 14 and 15. "He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." So we can know without a shadow of a doubt that even though we don't have Jesus in this room teaching us this morning, we have the Holy Spirit here. He's here with us, and he's in us, and he's teaching us the same message that Jesus taught. With all the same power and the same passion, that incredible teacher, the Holy Spirit, is right here in us and in our midst. And he's teaching us truth, and he's perfecting us. He's making us holy. Look at John 17, verse 7. John chapter 17, verse 7. "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So the Spirit working in us teaches us truth, but he perfects, he makes us holy, he sanctifies. He begins that lifetime process of sanctification where we become hopefully more and more like Jesus over the course of our lives, taking a step backwards, then a step forward as we imperfectly follow the Lord. Yet here's the Spirit of God at work in us, and he's making us more and more like the Lord. And you've experienced that in your life, haven't you? Times in your life where you were able to overcome a sin issue that you didn't think was going to be possible for you to overcome. But you're able to overcome it not because of your own strength or your own power, but because of the Holy Spirit working in you. And you've seen the transforming effect of the Spirit on people's lives. People that were far from God, and then when God got a hold of them, they became like God. And I've shared about my neighbor Kip before, but he reminds me of the scripture. He was my wild and crazy long-haired neighbor. No offense to you men with long hair and ponytails, but this guy was kind of a crazy guy. And beer cans on our front lawn and just had no regard for the Lord. And when the Lord got a hold of him, he was completely changed. He was such a different person that when he walked up our step, we didn't know who he was. And he introduced himself to us, and he said, "I'm your neighbor." And we said, "No." He said, "I'm your neighbor." And then he told us a story. God got a hold of him. And it was through the Word of God. He was in a fish camp in Alaska, had reached the end of himself. I guess a fish camp will do that to you when you're smelling like fish and you're out there by yourself. He said his clothes were so stiff that he could stand them up in the corner. That's how bad it was there in that fish camp. All that fish gut splattered all over him every day. And his cousin was reading the Bible. And he said, "What are you doing reading that?" He goes, "I'm reading it because it makes sense. That's why." And then Kip said, "Let me see that." He started reading the Bible. He became a believer. And God transformed him. He became a house church pastor, as he's doing today. And you see that just the effect of the Word and the Spirit together changing a person's life. And it's amazing. And we're counting on that in our lives, aren't we? Aren't you counting on the fact that God's going to clean your life up? That he's not giving up on you? He's going to keep working on your attitudes and your heart and your thought life, and that he hasn't given up on you? That he's going to keep working in your life? Praise Jesus for the Word and the Holy Spirit. Our next fill-in: without the Holy Spirit, God's Word is foolishness, but with the Holy Spirit, God's Word is deep truth. Isn't that true? You ever talk to anybody and they just don't get it all? They don't understand it. The Word of God seems irrelevant. It seems archaic. It seems out of date to them. They just don't understand it at all. Well, it's going to seem like foolishness unless we can understand it through the Holy Spirit, unless he leads somebody to the Word. And yet, when we do read it with the Holy Spirit, it makes sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 16. It talks about this very thing. "A person searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except for their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what he has freely given. That is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit, but considers them foolishness and can't understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So the Spirit at work in us teaches us even the very deep things of God so that we have the mind of Christ. So here we have our human mind battling with all our issues, but here we have the mind of Christ through the Spirit that's within us. That's a powerful thing. That can change a life. I was reading about an individual named Hugh Ross. You ever hear of Hugh Ross, who is an astronomer and maybe 30 years ago founded a ministry, Reasons to Believe? Hugh Ross, he's a creationist. And Hugh Ross grew up in British Columbia, and at age 17, he was the youngest director of observations for the Vancouver Royal Astronomical Society at age 17. So he's a bright guy. I think we can agree he's a bright guy at age 17. And so he also began a search for truth. I mean, he began a search for the cosmos and understanding the cosmos, but he began a search for truth. And he started reading all of the ancient books from all the world's religions at age 17. And he said that he started with the Eastern religious texts and then eventually worked his way to the Bible. And he said that everything disappointed him. He said, "One by one, each book failed the factuality test, and I gained confidence that my initial skepticism would be affirmed," he said, "until I picked up the Bible." So here is a scientist reading the Bible, and he tested it for accuracy, And he anticipated that because it was thousands of years old, that it just wouldn't hold up. It wouldn't hold up to modern scrutiny. But immediately, he was thrilled, excited, challenged when he realized that the four fundamental features of the Big Bang theory were found in the book of Genesis. He said the beginning of space and time coincident with the beginning of matter and energy. Number two, continual expansion of the universe from the cosmic beginning. Number three, the constancy of physical laws. And four, the pervasiveness of entropy, that is decay. So with his scientific mind, he's studying the Bible, and he says, this is good science. This makes sense. This fits with what he had observed about the world. And so he began to read the Bible, and he gets to a point where he knew in his mind that the Bible was true. He knew it in his mind. And he knew in his mind that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Christ, that he was God. And he believed that in his mind. And he said he turned his mind over to God. But you know what he hadn't turned over? His heart, his will. That's a little more challenging, isn't it? So he had turned his mind over to the Lord, and he believed. It made sense to him. But it took him a little longer to turn over his will to God because he thought, that means I have to obey the Bible. I have to live it out. That's a harder thing. But eventually he did that. He gave his life to the Lord, and he believed, and he turned over his will, and he said, here I am, God. I invite you in. And that changed his life. And for 30 or 40 years now, he's been leading a ministry called Reasons to Believe. And you can find his testimony online, and I have some of his books in my office. Dr. Hugh Ross. So just one example of hundreds or thousands of stories that we could tell here this morning about how the Word of God may seem like foolishness, but when the Spirit of God applies it to the heart of a person, and that person in faith believes, then God transforms. And we're counting on that in our lives. Well, our next fill-in, if we have the Spirit, the Word, and the church, we have all we need. We have the Spirit, the Word, and the church, we have all we need. Because we have the Spirit indwelling us, we have the truth of God's Word speaking clearly to us, but we need each other. We need each other. Because we're not supposed to have this individual relationship with the Lord. We're supposed to have a relationship with the Lord in the context of fellowship, of friends, of people heading in the same direction. Believing in God together, worshiping God together as we did this morning. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I invite you to turn there with me. Colossians 3, 16, a verse that's come up over and over again in sermons over the past year because we'd studied Colossians over the summer, and then we've looked at this already once in this series. And this is a parallel verse to a verse in Ephesians that tells us to be filled with the Spirit. And here it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So here's the Spirit of God at work in us, teaching us the Word. We're in the Word, but it was meant to be shared. And so God loves it when we find something in the Word and we share it with other people. Not just in a sermon, maybe in a song, maybe in a praise, maybe in a testimony, or as it says here, in a psalm, a hymn, a song. The Lord gives us these things, these insights. He quickens it to our heart, to our spirit, and we know God is speaking to us in a powerful way, and He expects us then to share that with the people around us. And you've had that experience. I know you have. You're reading the Bible. You're reading the Word of God. You've read it 1,000 times. You pick it up again. And all of a sudden, there's this one word. There's this one phrase. There's this one verse. And it just grabs you. And it comes to life. And you think, wow, this is so powerful. And you share it with somebody. Alice and I had that experience this week. We were at an event for Watering Can Ministries, which is Robin and Marcia Hadfield. And this is the couple that has kind of come alongside of us and mentoring us, and a couple that we've enjoyed the fellowship with. And I've invited them to preach next week, by the way. They'll be here. They're a delightful couple, and they're probably in their 70s or 80s. And this is the couple I was telling you about a few weeks ago when I was praying with my pastor friend Larry at Panera Bread. Larry was telling me how he was learning about the Holy Spirit. I said, well, guess what? I'm going to be preaching a series called Experiencing the Holy Spirit. I preached on experiencing God, preached on experiencing Jesus, and I thought, what should I preach on next? And the Holy Spirit said, hello, what about me? I thought, oh, yes, of course, the forgotten God. I forgot. Why wasn't I even thinking that about the Holy Spirit? And so it just became obvious. And then, so here Larry and I are praying, and I said, Larry, I need to be prepared for this series. We close our eyes to pray. We lift our eyes up, and here's this couple sitting right there, two booths away, with a sign that says free prayer in the middle of Panera Bread, and they're staring right at me. I think, uh-oh, that is a word from the Lord to me. I can see it, free prayer. So I went over there and started a friendship with these folks, and we went to their fundraising event this week, right before the first storm on Thursday night, as we prayed that storm away. And then Margaret, of course, prayed the second storm away, so we're very thankful for that. But we were there listening to their testimony and how they started this Water and Can Ministries, because they've been pastors and missionaries, interim pastors for their whole career, and now they've started something new. And they were having their devotions one morning, and the Lord hit them with Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. And I know none of you have it memorized, other than Mark. But no one else would have that memorized. But Isaiah 50, verse 4 says this, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak, a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me every morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. And they received this word from the Lord, and they thought, you know, God's calling us to a ministry where we get to bless the weary. That's our ministry. We want to bless the weary. People need a blessing. They need a word of encouragement. They need to be prayed for. That's going to be our ministry as we end our years, is just having a ministry of blessing people, praying over them, sharing the word with them. And so that's what they do at Panera Bread, is they sit there and they wait for people to come. At first, the staff was a little bit weirded out by this and didn't know what to do with them. And now all the staff members come and visit them. Coffee's on the house, anything you want. They know every intimate detail about every staff member. They're praying for people. And God is at work there at Panera Bread because of this ministry. But it started with a word from the Lord that they were obedient and they shared. So the Spirit, the Word, and the church together, what a combination. So I know that you're going to really enjoy meeting Robin and Marcia when they come. It just seemed like the right thing to do. It was not part of the series originally, but we're going to talk next week about being empowered by the Spirit, and I think it's going to be a real blessing to have them come and share next week. So we can confidently assert that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Without a doubt, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. We can't understand it without the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through people, but it was the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Take a look at that scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. I'm going to wait for you to turn there because it's such a great, powerful scripture. And I love the word picture here that Peter uses. It's a sailing illustration that he uses at the end that's just really powerful. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. It says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And as you read the Bible, you can see the different personalities, can't you, of each author? I mean, you can tell that Luke is a different person than John, is a different person from Matthew. I mean, you can see the personalities of Peter and Paul. And so God is using their personalities. He's using their knowledge. He's using their giftedness, as he does with us. Yet the Holy Spirit was filling them and carrying them along. And the illustration here is a sailing one. It's this picture of the wind of the Spirit sort of filling up the sail of a sailing vessel and carrying it along. Just carrying it along. We know all about wind, and we're thankful we didn't get that much of it over the last couple of days. We got a little bit. But the power of wind to move a sail. And so here's this picture of these men and women who are filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit is just propelling them, and He's carrying them along, and He's speaking through them, and He's filling them, and God leads them forward. And that's the Word of God that we have. That's the Bible that we have, that we enjoy, written by the Holy Spirit, but through people. One last fill-in. The Spirit uses the Word in our lives to instruct and to convict. To instruct and to convict. And so I invite you now to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And it can be amazing the way that the Holy Spirit is so specialized in His ministry to us. We can hear the same message, every one of us. We can hear the same sermon. We can read the same Bible verse. And maybe you're encouraged and you're comforted and I'm convicted all at the same time, because the Spirit has such a specialized ministry in every one of our hearts, and He knows what we need. And sometimes you need to be comforted, or you need to be encouraged, or sometimes you need to be exhorted, convicted, and the Spirit does all that through the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so take a look at that verse. Think about that. The Scripture is God-breathed. The Spirit is, another name for Spirit is the breath of God. That's what the Hebrew word means. That's what the Greek word means. It's this idea of wind or breath. And so here's the Spirit, which is described in those terms. And now the Scripture is also described in those terms. And you think about how God breathed life into mankind. And then you think about how Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on His disciples. And now you think about God breathing life through the Spirit into the Word of God that we have. It's not like any other book. It's living and it's alive. And God has given the Word the ability to speak clearly to us. And it does that by teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Or if you have the King James Version, through doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. And those words mean to teach is to teach authoritatively. We can teach authoritatively. We know the Word has the authority to speak into our lives, just like Jesus did. We rebuke. The Word rebukes us or convicts us. It persuades us to live a different life. And then the Word corrects us. It makes us right again. It heals us like you'd set a broken bone. And that's the word here for correct. And then the fourth word, train. To train is a word for training little children. Little children need to be trained. They need to be disciplined. And that's what the Word does for us. So those are four awesome words that God applies to our lives when we read it. Mark Twain, an avid unbeliever, said this: "It's not those passages of Scripture I do not understand that bother me, but those that I do understand." And he was a humorist, but he was speaking the truth there, wasn't he? We know what the Word of God asks us to do, because it asks us not to just understand it, but to live it out. That's what pleases Jesus more than anything, is, yes, that we hear the Word, that we read the Word, that we do the Word, that we live it out, that we teach it to others. And so that's when we know the Word is really in us. One last scripture. Here's one more. Hebrews 4:12. Had to have this one. Hebrews 4:12. If you're going to preach a sermon on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you have to have Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So in other words, the Word of God gets right to the core of us, right there in the very midst of our mind and our heart, and the Word of God penetrates, and just like a surgeon's knife is precise, the Word of God knows where to cut, and it knows where to touch our lives, and knows how to convict, it knows how to instruct. That's God's Word, specialized for every one of us. You think about all the sources of news that we take in an average day. And you have your news feed, so there's all kinds of news. And if you're like me, I've been looking at the weather report like every minute the last few days. I've even had the Como News Twitter has been on my phone. And I've been getting moment-by-moment observations from Scott Sistek, and he's been, okay, all right, here it is. Here, the storm's coming. I know it's coming. I'm ready for it, just moment by moment by moment. And you know, we're inundated with news, aren't we? We have so many news sources, not that many accurate news sources, but so many news sources that come our way. You ever look at CNN and look at Fox News, and you think, are they even reporting about the same country? It's like, well, what do you believe here? And you know, and so we have all these news sources. We're constantly inundated with new things to think about. And then we have all our favorite TV shows. And some of you love survival shows. We know that Ken does, and we're all excited to watch that Alone show now, thanks to that. That's a great show. But we all have our favorite shows. And some of you, how many of you, your favorite shows are contestant shows? So, you know, The Voice, Dancing with the Stars, those kind of, anybody have favorite, I find myself watching the YouTube clips, I really do. You know, America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent, and you see this person come out and you're thinking, oh, this is not going to be good, and the judges are anticipating it being really bad, and then they just blow you away. I just love that feeling, and so sometimes I watch too many of those, just one after another, the top 10, the top 20. You know, the most sincere, whatever it is. And so we like those shows. How many people like their favorite? You have a favorite sitcom, you know, a favorite comedy, and you watch that every week. We get some honest people in the front row here raising their hands. And so if you get your favorite sitcoms, and, you know, you get your favorite news sources, and you get your favorite YouTube, you know, clips and so forth. So we get a lot of stuff. Anybody here a sports fan at all? You watch sports on TV a little bit? Yeah. Right? Any games on today that we should be aware of? Later on today, right? At the newcomers' lunch, I'm recording the game, folks. Don't worry, we can watch it afterwards without commercials. But we get inundated with all these things, and the Word of God can seem so small sometimes, can it? It's just this one little Word of God, and then you get all this kind of stuff. And all that stuff together is basically like junk food. It really is. I mean, a Snickers bar, a homemade chocolate chip cookie, you know, a scone. That's my weakness, a scone. Love scones, especially the PCC Market scones. Those are to die for. But anyways, so all that news is like junk food. All that stuff, all that media, all that comedy, all that entertainment, it's like a Snickers bar. And you can have a Snickers bar once in a while, and maybe it is refreshing until the sugar hits you and then you're on your way down. But it doesn't fill you up, does it? All that news, all that media, it doesn't fill us. It might get you agitated or excited, but then all of a sudden you're on your way down. It doesn't satisfy us. But the Word of God is different. It's active. It's alive. God uses it to speak the truth, to help us be holy, to make us more like Jesus. The Word of God is unique. And so the key to life, here's the key to life. You've always wanted to know it. Here it is. The key to life is get the Word into you on a daily basis. Find a way to set yourself apart from all your distractions and have alone time in the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to speak through it, and that will change your life and my life. It really will. Because a half an hour from now, I won't remember this sermon, and you won't either. That's the truth. What did I preach last week? Oh, it'll come to me. But see, that's the whole point, isn't it? I mean, this is good right now, but we need the Word of God ongoing in our lives. So more sermons and more listening to the Word in the car as we drive, and more teaching and more just digging in and really enjoying God's Word. So I've got a few things for you to think about as we close here. It's on your insert. Would you ask the Holy Spirit these things? Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a hunger for the Word of God. You might not naturally have a hunger or thirst for the Word of God. You might not. I mean, we're all sinful people. We do what we want to do. We do what's entertaining. But if you'll ask the Holy Spirit to give you a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God, He will. And then it'll become exciting as the Spirit's leading you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand and obey the Word. If you're a younger believer, it might seem confusing. But you can get help from people around you. You can get a study Bible. You can pray and ask the Spirit for guidance. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand and obey the Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to enable you to discern truth from error. We're bombarded. We need a filter. We need a way to know what's right and what's wrong. And the Spirit can do that for us. He does it very well. But we need to ask. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you effectively live out and share the Word. Because you have some passages that you could be sharing with people around you today. Maybe you will. Some things that God's taught you. Somebody else needs to hear that, what God's teaching you. They need to hear your testimony. And that's what church is. When we come together, we encourage each other with the Word of God. So that's taught by the Spirit. Next 2 weeks, we'll talk about being empowered by the Spirit. But let's pray together and invite the Spirit to continue to do some work before we have this last song. Dear Holy Spirit, just quiet our hearts that we might receive from you. Dear Holy Spirit, we set apart our hearts for you, and we pray that they would be fertile ground that you could work. We invite you to speak to us as we have this whole service, and we ask you to continue to speak to us. Lord, where we need to be affirmed and encouraged, we pray that you do that. Lord, where we need to be instructed, give us clear insight. And Lord, where we need to be convicted and transformed, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to do that. We pray we'd be open and give you the space to work that you need. We give you the quietness you need to work in us so that we hear your still small voice and it would sound louder and louder. And so thank you for the work you're doing in us. We receive from you this morning. We receive insight. We receive truth and holiness. Thank you for loving us and speaking to us in a new and a fresh way every morning, every day, every time we have with you. Thank you that our sin isn't a barrier to being with you, O God, that you've overcome our sin. You've overcome all that's in the world. And so, Lord, we feel embraced by you this morning. We receive that love, that kindness, that goodness, that truth from your word. Just continue to speak to us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.